Welcome to Love, Honor, and Asperger's, a podcast for partners in autistic or narcissistic relationships. Join author April Anderson and her guests as they delve into their personal experiences and offer their insight. With wisdom and wit, this podcast will provide listeners with invaluable guidance, unwavering support, and compelling real-life stories. Ready? Let's dive in.
Hello, my Cassandra brothers and sisters. Welcome to this episode of Love, Honor, and Asperger podcast. Today's my guest is Wendy, and she found out recently about that she was a Cassandra, went through a very hard struggle, and especially accepting the fact that her spouse was on the spectrum. But she's still married, and she's going to give us tips on how she's surviving and how her journey was to figure this all out. But first, I'm just going to do a little business or past business with Dr. Catherine Wrench, who was on a couple episodes ago. And she wrote the book, When Eros Meets Autos. And she is offering 90 minutes of consultation to anyone who buys her book and would like to contact her. So I wanted to pass that on. Okay. Well, now I'm going to say hi to Wendy, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you, April. It's nice to be here. Hello, everybody.
Now, we're going to start from the beginning where we usually do, and how she met her, which is kind of funny. She always calls her husband by formally, but we're just going to call him Mr. Bob on this one. So I'm going to ask her, how did she meet Mr. Bob?
I first met him at a church activity for over 30 single adults at a church function, and we met very quickly. We met at the end of July, and we talked for a while, and then by the end of August, we met again, and then our first date was Labor Day weekend, and we were married by Columbus Day. So it's 20 years this week that we've been married. Been a long time.
Yeah. That's right. It's your anniversary.
This week on Wednesday.
But you're not going to even be here.
I'm leaving Wednesday morning. So we'll be together for a few hours.
Oh, well. All right. So you got married. And so what happened? Did you figure out, or somehow most of us have some kind of an odd feeling that there's something just a little off with our fellows? Did you feel that?
Things were odd. His first wife passed away. And I thought it was odd that he quickly jumped into the single scene very fast.
Oh, okay.
He died in February. He jumped into it by June.
Wow.
He rushed into getting married.
Wow.
I mean, it was a very quick thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, 8 months, woohoo, a little too fast. But I thought he just wanted to be married. So
yeah,
I took that and just rushed on. And then I thought things got weird where he was a little too sticky to his mom because his mom had moved in to help with the kids. And then I went into a deep depression because things were odd because he just wasn't all over me like he was in the beginning. And I thought he was going to be that same type of man. And he slowly diverted.
Yeah, welcome to the Cassandra Club on that. The unmasking. It's a shock.
It was.
I still can't get over it. It's been all these years. It's just a shock to think you're marrying a certain person.
And he's not.
And they're not. And with me, I mean, nobody believed what I was saying. Of course, I didn't understand it. But at least with all of us now, the gals and you, at least, you know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just your imagination.
See, that's what my family remembers him being like.
Yeah.
And when we get together, he shows it a little bit of that. So they can't understand what I'm going through. So I went into almost a clinical depression, and he was just feeding me Mountain Dew and Pop-Tarts because that's all I wanted. And I was just laying in bed for days on end. I wasn't even watching TV or anything.
And you were only married a few years?
Just a few years.
Yeah.
And that was over with. And then I came out of that, and then my headaches came back, and I was having them horribly. And then once again, I was laying in bed. So I was going through that physical problem and that emotional problem. And then I had a nervous breakdown. I was back into an outpatient institution. I mean, it was just everything.
And you didn't have that before at all? That's kind of
not like that.
Maybe
no.
Headaches.
I mean, I had slight depression, but I have depression, bipolar,
yeah.
But it was always, taken care of and I was under control, but I couldn't get out of it. It was just terrible.
That's just awful.
It was bad.
Well, so how did you get out of it?
I finally got something to do. I finally, basically my business, I think I finally got out of it because I needed something to do. He finally, said, you got to do something because you're just going to sit in this house.
Right.
So my mother-in-law was no companion. He was no companion.
No companion,
because,
right.
Because, you know, you're alone.
Did he have
Even though he's in the room.
Oh, yeah.
You're alone. He's in the house. He's in the room. You're all alone.
Isn't that strange? I stopped watching TV, I mean, with my guy years ago, my ex-former, I call him, because he was there, but he just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I thought, why am I sitting here? You know, a lot of people might make a comment about the TV show. I think this is going to happen. The only thing he ever said was, I know what's going to happen, or I've already seen this before, or nothing fun. And I years ago, years and years ago, I just said, that's it. I'm mm-hmm. with him, but I'm not. I'm out of here. I went and read a book by myself. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Think about it. I mean, it's sad to be alone when you're right there.
When you're with a person.
Yeah.
So anyway, Wendy started this landscaping weeding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
because I went and got my own companion.
Yeah.
A dog. So that's how it started. I went and got my own companion.
Yeah.
And it was a dog. And I have OCD, started walking the dog.
Oh, yeah.
Started plucking weeds.
I love this.
And I got up to 5 grocery sacks a day.
I love
just walking
story.
The dog. And so I advertised, got my first job, got $1,000. I instantly had to start hiring people. And this is my 10th year.
I love it. That is so fabulous. I'm not kidding you. And I tell you, Wendy is so popular that she has a beautiful website. And she goes, and on her phone message, she says, I'm not taking any new customers. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I got in when I did, because she's so popular. But the fun thing is that Wendy drives this really, I don't have any idea what kind of truck it is. It's a white
Dodge Ram.
Oh, it's a Dodge. Oh, and it's all
with a Hemi and a 5.7 liter engine.
Oh. That's cool. Oh, she's so cool. And it's just so, it's good. Is it painted or are they wrapped?
A wrap.
She got butterflies, grass, flowers. And you see Wendy's truck around town and you go, there she is working away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so darling. Plus the fact that Wendy herself is funky. She always wears, as far as I've ever known, she always wears
leggings
and cool tops and her hair all done up in some kind of a bunchy thing or something. She doesn't look like any Farmer Brown or landscape out there, you know.
No overalls.
No. So anyway, so she was doing weeds and turned it into a business. I mean, pulling weeds for anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And turns it into a business and helps her get out and start to be your own person, right?
Got out of the depression. I have a companion now, my dog, which my husband completely jealous of.
Really? Oh, my God.
I'm not allowed to talk to the dog when we're having sex. The dog.
Oh, God.
Not that I talked to the dog then, but
so
I have
funny.
To ignore the dog. The pack we made. Cannot talk to the dog then.
Wendy's going to give us tips on how to survive a marriage, but there you go right now. If you have a dog, when you're having sex, you just don't talk to your dog or a cat.
Ignore the dog. Yeah, ignore the cat.
Oh, my God. All right, so you did. Now, I guess we should, before we talk about how you're surviving this marriage, let's just talk about how you really discovered he was on the spectrum, because you didn't know.
Yes, I didn't know. I had met April, and she had talked to me about her husband, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And then the more and more I had seen her and talked to her, my jaw kept dropping and dropping and dropping, and I realized that is my husband.
I know.
And I was like, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. And then I started believing it was him, and then I eventually said, okay, it's him. And then that's when it just all just crashed in. And I was like, this is him. Oh, my goodness. This is what I'm going to have to live with. And then I got, when I started reading, she gave me some books to read and all this stuff like that. And then all of a sudden I realized I wasted almost 20 years of my life, 20 years of my life being alone when I could have been out doing things. Because I kept waiting for him every day. Waiting for him.
You think
when he came home
happen.
To go do something. Mm-hmm. And let's go do something all the time. And I kept expecting it to change, and it never would change.
No.
Because he would never change. And
well, it's good
I feel like
out.
I lost my life.
Well, that's it. When I first read the verbal abuse book, particularly, and realized that he was not really ever going to be he was going to be my competitor or controller or just not communicate with kindness. It's just, you're just so stunned. It's just, you have to really pull yourself together to make it through, or else you only got one life, you know, and you got to go for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But so then you get your business going, but you found out about the Asperger. And I have to say, when Wendy would come over with her crew to work and stuff, I even wondered if she was just imagining things. I was making her, because she'd say, it sounds like Mr. Bob. sounds like Mr. Bob. And, and it was a couple of years of this, sounds like me. And then finally, you know, I realized she really and truly is married to a guy on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And so she read my book and she read a couple books. And I just want to say, I'm so impressed with how she marked pages with beautiful stick 'em notes, right?
Sticky notes,
all, you know, rose and lime green. And I thought, Lord, I am so happy that I wrote this book, or that somebody that read my book. It wasn't even like marking, you know, what you call it, draw the lines, like when you're in college. What do you call it, outlining. Or whatever. Yeah. But to actually be moved or interested in so much of this stuff and have it help her, really, she had to sort out her life. She had to decide how she's going to proceed. So while she was going along with it, she had to tell Mr. Bob, right?
Mm-hmm. So the funniest thing was, I ordered the book, Asperger's for Dummies. And so we were lying in the bed, and all of a sudden, Alexa comes on and says, your book, Asperger's for Dummies, has arrived. I'm like, oh my goodness. And he's not one to say anything.
Oh,
so we're both lying in bed, and I'm just staring out straight, waiting for something. Nothing happens. A few days go by, and I start writing down a list of how I, as a person with bipolar and all these other issues, depression, how I interact with other people. And then I start writing down how people with Asperger's communicate with others. And so when he came in the door, I sat him down and started talking about that. I said, people with Asperger's, I didn't say you communicate with others.
good.
And then I pulled out the book and I put it on the table, Asperger's for Dummies. And I said, well, I think one, two, or none of us has Asperger's. But, you know, I just thought you might be interested in reading this book. But he did get up to chapter 4.
Well, that's something.
And that's it. And the book has just been flying all over the house because I keep moving it. Hoping he'd pick it up again.
I don't know.
Hasn't happened.
What he's going to do, even if he reads it, though, you know.
Yeah, you never know. Nothing's changed. He's been changed a little bit because I have changed the way I react to him. Because I've been learning how to react to him because of how he communicates.
That's a very important tip for all of us to remember on that.
Because if you learn how they communicate, you can communicate back with them.
Exactly.
Because I quit yelling.
Yeah.
Which is the hardest thing.
Oh,
because I get so exasperated. Like the other day, I changed it while I was talking. I do this a lot. But the funniest one was we were driving and the windows were down and did something which I usually scream at him for. And because I get so exasperated and I go, he's like, and I'm like, oh, someone just blew my eyes. When I was actually yelling at him.
Right.
So I thought you were yelling at me. I said, no, someone blew my eyes. And he took it. But usually I will turn whatever he said, my reaction, I flip it.
Right. That's what they say.
Into something else.
Yeah, you can't
change. So I don't take it personally.
You can change how you react, but you can't change the person. That's the hardest thing.
I cannot change how he feels.
Right.
But I can change how I react to it. So I'm trying so hard to scream.
I had a life coach once right before I was divorcing Bruce, but we were living apart, but we did things together. And she would warn me, don't go. We want to take a trip to go watch golf in Florida, Tiger Woods. And she said, you shouldn't go. And I said, I want to see Tiger Woods. She said, you shouldn't go. You need to meditate, be calm, don't respond. I'm getting all this advice, right? And I was really good, except one time he was doing some crazy thing. And I started to flip and yell. And he happened to be going out the door. And then I kind of like did what you did. I just kind of put my hand over my mouth and pretended I was sneezing or coughing and thought, I can't do this. I've been warned, you know, but it's hard. But you're doing good on that, Wendy.
You have to become an actress.
An actress. Well, now, tell the pickleball story. Oh,
well, pickleball, it's learning in these books that how you have to pursue your own interests. And that was the hardest thing for me to learn in that book or take on, that if I ever wanted to play pickleball, I can never depend on him to be my pickleball partner. I don't play pickleball, but I can never depend on him to be my pickleball partner. I would have to depend on or go out and find myself another pickleball partner. But that was the hardest thing to accept because that was so sad to me. And then that turned around and I realized that all of a sudden gave me permission to go out and get a pickleball partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt rejuvenated. I felt alive again. It just gave me permission. I received independence right there and then. that I was allowed to go out and do that, because before I felt guilty sitting around doing nothing with him because he sleeps all the time. Wow. That's all he does is sleep all the time. And on Sundays, I like going out and visiting families. Right. That's what I do when I'm single.
But you're a social person.
So now I get to go out on Sundays and go visit with families and have dinner. Wow. So I'm back to my old self and it feels good.
Yeah. All because of me. No.
Yes, it's all because of you people. Nobody else would have done it for me.
No, but I mean,
you
feel like
landed there.
I don't
purpose.
Know if I was, I know it's like the universe, you know? I don't, but
nothing
you know,
happens for, nothing's a coincidence. Everything happens for a reason.
Right. And so I hated to have her, you know, be sort of the bearer of bad news, which I didn't really mean to be. I just was talking. But then again, maybe I helped.
You were there for
I helped Wendy.
You helped me.
But Wendy, that's another thing is you travel by yourself
all the time. Because I enjoy myself. When I take him, it's terrible. He's a bump on a log, and it brings me down, and it's horrible. Mm-hmm. One time we were out traveling with my family somewhere, and he kept ticking me off, and nobody saw it. Nobody saw it. Nobody understood it. And we're sitting on the couch, and he said one comment. I took something I had in my hand, and I threw it at him. And everybody's like, oh.
The whole room goes, what did Wendy?
I said, don't know what's going on. Yeah. And I was so mad. I got up and left.
Yeah.
And they all couldn't figure out what was going on because they didn't know what was going on.
They don't know.
I said, you don't know what happened this whole week. To make me want to like chop his head off. Because they all see Wendy as a meanie.
Yeah.
They don't see him as the person I live with. They think him as Wonderful Bob.
Wonderful Mr. Bob.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing. I used to say that was the worst, was it was not being believed. You know, it's the worst thing. But you have to just go with your own self,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think some people are, I mean, most everybody in my friends and family have all come around pretty much, you know, that mom, my kids would be going, or you know, my parents have passed and I just wish they knew, because my mother, I knew she knew something was off with this man,
mm-hmm.
you know, but so many people still, they look at me like, April's so mean. He was so quiet and kind. This drives you nuts, especially when you're home and they're so nasty. Oh, well, anyway, so we have a new Cassandra here. And so how are you going to just go on with this marriage? You're just going to continue with, you don't have any plans to like bail?
No, many times I thought about it because it's hard. But with our religion, and then first thing he said is divorce is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
So our religion and everything like that. That's one thing we have in common. Yeah, and that's what keeps us together.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, this is the sad part about it. He washes the clothes. He washes the dishes. He pays my Discover bill.
Yeah.
And all I do in return is...
You give him
and plus, he puts up with everything I do.
Yeah.
And I'm a diva. And
yeah.
He puts up with everything I do. But in turn, I have to put up with, you know, everything going on.
What the trade-off?
The trade-off... is I get a lot of stuff. That's the trade-off. But in turn, he gets sex.
I was like that. He gets.
I'm trying to see where I wrote that down. But the trade-off is, you know, okay, here it was. In turn, I don't ask where he is and what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because like when we first got married, he thought it was like the Spanish Inquisition. When mm-hmm. I asked, well, how's your day? What you been doing? Blah, blah, blah.
No.
He didn't take it well.
Well,
so now I don't ask where he's been and what he's been doing. Because he likes to have his own space.
Yeah.
I don't tell him where I'm going or what I've been doing. I do tell him because I like to talk.
Well, I know. I hated that. Come home and try to say, guess what happened? And they could care less.
He doesn't care.
They don't want to hear it, really. And he'd tell me his side of the things sometimes. But years ago when I was going to therapy, my therapist said about him, or just my life, she said, well, he doesn't share. I mean, that's as far as we got before we really knew. And I thought, no, he doesn't. My family, when I was brought up, we told everything. Guess what happened in school? And guess what happened, you know, with somebody I met? Or we all shared everything. It was so hard for me to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we that was no sharing. That was it. He's in his own little world.
And then we're going to go back to, what is it? Complimenting.
Oh, the compliment.
Let's go to complimenting.
Let's go to compliment.
The man never complimented me the whole time we've been married. And then I sort of caught on to that. The only time he would say, I love you, is after I told him I loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just never complimented, never told me I was pretty. And I brought that up for him a few times. And he goes, I have. And I said, no, you haven't.
Oh, he said he did.
Because,
oh, dear.
Because I would have noticed it and wrote it down in one of my
frame it or something.
Yeah. Never, ever. The only time he ever compliments me is when we're having sex, and it's not me, it's my genitalia, and that is it. That's the only thing he compliments. And the only time he's ever said anything else about how I look is when he told me he didn't like me wearing makeup on the bottom lashes because it makes me look angry or mad. Stop doing that. Just to amuse him.
You know, that might be one of these red flags, because when I met my Bruce, even before we were just dating, I think, and he told me right away he didn't like the eyeliner under my eyes. I don't know.
And so watch out for that.
Yeah, watch out. Be aware. So I stopped. I haven't done it since. You know, I think the young kids nowadays do it more, like my little granddaughter. But no, they didn't like, isn't that odd? It's the only thing. But he really didn't care about much else. When I'd be all dressed up and people would say, you know, we go to a dance or something, he never, ever told me I look good. Never. And then I meet people later in life that tell me, oh, you look pretty then, or you did. I think, what the heck was I?
I know.
I don't know why he could. Why can't they? I think it doesn't cross their mind, Wendy.
I depend on the kindness of strangers and friends to compliment me, to give me kudos and make me feel better about myself. Not that I can't feel better about myself by myself, but to give me those compliments, because I'm never going to get them from him, no matter what I do.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, the other one. I love this one. I was able to train him. So this is good.
Yeah. Another tip.
Training. You can train them new tricks. He did not know what to do when I would get upset and stuff like that. And I just wanted some comfort.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to train him what it looked like for me to be upset.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Do that, because they don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, they can't read facial expressions. No.
So I had to show him, like, if I'm crying, what I look like when I was upset. So he had learned that. And I said, all I want you to do is come over and touch me. You know, just put your hand on my leg or my arm, and that's it. Do not say anything whatsoever. Do not say anything, because I'll ruin it. Just touch me, and it's all you have to do. And he's learned that.
Well, that's good.
And it works out great.
That is good.
Really good.
Yeah.
So he's learned that. It makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to force him into saying anything nice about me.
Well,
because I'm not going to say, you need to tell me I'm pretty.
No, I wouldn't do that either.
I'm not going to force a compliment. So it better come out of you.
I don't think they really know.
I'm not going to wait for it.
No, I don't think they know how. I really don't.
I just let my friend keep telling me I'm pretty.
I'll tell you what, she's a funky gal and she is pretty. So we talk a lot about, you know, in the beginning you did, before you knew anything about Asperger's, and you were just lonely and it just took a toll on you physically and mentally. So how is all that working out now? I mean, do you feel, since you were learned about Asperger's and all, do you have any more health issues being around him?
I had that surgery on my back, but I don't think it has anything to do with that. Fell out of a flower bed.
Oh, did you really?
I was trying to fix a flower bed up for him, so this is his fault.
Well, it is.
I was fixing up the flower bed for him to put his tomato plants in. Yeah. But otherwise, no, I'm not having those problems.
Yeah,
I am not.
It's amazing.
Being abused by the Asperger's anymore, because I'm being proactive.
Yeah, okay, yeah, proactive.
So I think being proactive is the idea.
Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing how you've done that. It's really hard. Yeah, it's hard.
Or making you feel guilty for everything. Right. Feeling like it's always your fault, everything that goes on. You can't take the blame anymore.
No, you can't. So I think a lot of Cassandras that have kids or are chronically ill sometimes and that they can't help, or maybe be ill parents, or could be a million things that they can't quite get the power that they need, you know, to free themselves. And they get so stuck, you know. But I think when you can get your own, I know with me, I had my own business and daycare and I made money, and somehow that was just power for me. Mm-hmm. But if you get yourself completely financially indebted to them, or where you can't, you know, or don't have a car, or you have too many kids, or you get kids that are, you can get really stuck. So Wendy was strong enough to bring herself out of it. Didn't have other complications, because I can't say everybody can just do that. You know, you can't blame people for just not being able to all of a sudden empower themselves, because she actually did physically. She made money. She got out to see people. And some people just can't do that, you know, so we have to understand that. But I swear it helped me so much having my own business. And my ex-former he didn't really care what I did. It kind of sounds like you're Mr. Bob. You know, he really didn't. As long as he could do his thing, he didn't really care. But you don't have a relationship. I mean, you don't have a real marriage, a relationship, really. You just sort of have like a roommate that, and mine would, it's funny, ever since I am actually divorced, I think, oh yeah, he did change those light bulbs. Or he did change those
for everything for me.
Yeah, see, that's, I have to do that now. My own, and he used to do the dishes every night.
Just to make me happy, but there's no.
Yeah.
There's no.
Yeah.
There's nothing in between.
No. Yeah, my years ago, the therapist said that my guy did errands and everything too. That was the way he showed love.
That's right. That's how he shows love.
But it gets old after a while.
It is. Because it's lonely.
It's lonely. And plus, he got to be.
That warm light bulb does not keep me warm.
Yeah. And I thought that's why he showed, because he would go get bread or go get this or do the errands. And my neighbor actually at the time said, you sure make him go out and do a lot of stuff. That's, you're being too immune. And I said, he likes it. He wants to go out and see people and didn't want to see me that much. And, but he loved to go out and just shop and do all that. So, and he did the dishes, he did the laundry. He used to put so much in the washer and dryer. I wonder how the stuff made it. I mean, honestly, but you know, he did that, all that. Sort of sounds similar, but mine had narcissistic tendencies. Mr. Bob, he has narcissistic tendencies?
Oh, yeah. He likes to watch me cry. And I've accused him of that a few times.
No. Well, they like to get you upset.
He likes to get me upset. And that last time,
that's why
I yelled at him and called him a narcissistic bastard. And I was like, yeah. It finally came out of my mouth.
You weren't able to control that part. Well, see, that's the thing of it is when they... To get, at least I've always, I didn't know this forever until I read like a million books and YouTubes and wonderful videos from these people that are expert in narcissism, that he got energy from me being upset. If I was too happy, I think it really bothered him. So he had to throw in something and I would, you know, you don't argue with them. It's stupid. They say JADE, they have a little acronym JADE, justify, argue, defend, and explain. It's a waste. But I would do it until I was blue in the face and that my heart was pounding and I was ready to vomit or cry and or something. But see, that's the part. I mean, if they're a little different or if they, the loneliness you have to solve, but getting nasty, that I couldn't take that.
He would let me give my perception of how I saw something until I was, and it was something very personal to me, like Christmas tree. I thought he dragged it off into the garage with all my ornaments and stuff on it, because I saw ornaments all over the floor. Oh, and so I'm telling him, you took my stuff into the garage like that. I said, I made those ornaments 35 years ago by hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there telling him how, my perception when I'm getting hysterical. I was getting sick. I was so upset.
Yeah, I know.
And he stood there and watched me like for 5 to 10 minutes of me going on and on and on. Did not tell me the truth. Did not tell me the truth. At all. And then next day I see the tree out there and I see the box of ornaments. Mm-hmm. Made me so mad that he wouldn't tell me the truth and let me go through that whole thing. And I brought it up to him the other day. And this is years ago.
Well, yeah, that would never work.
So he made me cry the other day.
Yeah.
Oh. And I said, don't you remember that?
What'd he say?
No. See, I he doesn't remember the Christmas tree thing at all.
Oh no. See, my ex would get so upset if I brought up anything in the past. It's like, you're just not allowed.
He does it to me.
You can't cut people off like that. If you have a concern, either say, I forgot, I didn't do it, or I just won't talk about it. That was 10 years ago. If it was something terrible and upsetting, you just can't say, well, that was 2 years ago, or that was 10 years ago, or that was his answer. No, you never brought up stuff. It just wasn't allowed.
I thought that was the meanest thing anybody could do to somebody.
Oh, gosh.
He hurt me, made me cry hysterically, and just watched me, knowing the truth, and wouldn't stop me and tell me the truth.
Right. I think sometimes they're just going to do things their way, or they're lazy or something, and they're just going to do it the way they're going to do it.
And he just watched me cry. Hysterically.
So then what happens after that?
Nothing.
He just goes about his day, and you just...
Nothing is ever said the next day. It's as if it never happened.
That's the thing I can't understand. I would be so upset. And then the next day, he's like whistling.
Never happened. Yeah. Everything is as if it never happened the next day.
I wonder sometimes if it does happen in their brain or not. See, apparently Mr. Bob there, he can control. See, this is a big question. Do you think he can control his behavior around other people?
Yes.
Yeah.
So why can't they do it around when they're with us? I mean, is it rhetorical?
He doesn't want to make anybody else cry, just me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He just wants to show off to others his mental capacity. He's so smart. It's unbelievable. He's so ding-dang smart. Don't ask him a question. He'll corner you and talk your ear off. But he's so ding-dang smart. It's unbelievable. And you ask him a question, he'll give a dissertation on it.
Oh, wow. But well, I don't know, Wendy.
It's hard.
Do you have any more stories you'd like to share with anybody?
Oh, I just had why I never left him.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that.
Well, it's because he does his thing and you do your thing.
I do my thing. Divorce was never an option. We have the
And you're never, thing. It's not that easy maybe out there anyway. I mean, you're doing so
and
good.
And basically, I'm learning his language mm-hmm. now.
You could run a group.
Learn the language.
You also
have to learn your language.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning my language.
Right. So you're actually
two languages.
Yeah.
So it could be bilingual.
Well, they don't. The communication is
that's so the most important part.
Yeah.
You got to learn that. You got to learn how he talks and how. Also, you have to learn how he loves, how he shows you love. Because
mm-hmm.
I figured out how he shows me he loves me and. So I need to show love to you.
Well, you know, it's
hard sometimes to love them because you're so deep dang mad at them.
Well, it's very complicated. The thing I learned is that I couldn't say two things in a sentence that he couldn't follow it. So I did learn some things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would only hear the first part. So if you said anything too long, the second part got lost. Like when you go to the store, you pick up bread and milk. The milk might have gotten lost, you know. I mean, it's not that he's dumb. Oh, he's quite bright,
mm-hmm.
but it was too much to, you know, for his brain to process. Yeah, he couldn't process. And then I learned that he multitasking. I've been to physical therapy because I have this plantar fasciitis in my foot. And there's a young guy named Dalton, and he runs the place, and he has all different workers, and maybe he'll have six or seven people doing things for they have a hip replacement or a shoulder thing, or they fell, or what, it could be anything. And he can keep up what everybody should be doing. All right, you know, 5 minutes on this, 2 minutes on that, do these stretches. And I said, I couldn't believe it. I said, Dalton, you can really, really multitask. I mean, it's amazing. So it's, you know, but mine guy, everything with me was 10 years. It's always like decades to learn things. We had a nice little fireplace in one of our houses, and he had kept his keys and cash. And he had a little change back then, probably before we used debit cards so much, on the mantelpiece. And he had such a routine in the morning that if I had to tell him anything about what was going to happen, I had to try to sneak it in somewhere. And it probably never worked because he had his own routine of when he had his coffee and then he went to the bathroom and read the paper and then he got in the shower and then and I'm like running around trying to get some information into his head about something. But I realized that, so it always came down to him throwing his keys in his pocket and stuff. And I realized he never, ever heard what I said when he was doing that. He had to think, I'm getting my keys, I'm getting my change, I'm getting my wallet. And he couldn't think, you know, remember to pick somebody from soccer or we're going out to dinner with the Smiths later. Couldn't do it. You know, it was very frustrating. Mm-hmm. But the worst is I'm being mean and nasty. It's all I got to say.
I'm telling you. My best one is about the garage key. I had a garage key from inside the house to the garage. I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Took him a while, like a year or so, to finally give me another one.
Well, that's a long time.
I lost again. He gave me finally, took years, and I'm not kidding you, years.
Yeah, I know, that's what I say.
Years.
Yeah.
To get me another one. But he gave it to me. He put it in the door of the garage. I didn't take it out because I didn't need it. I just left it in there because it's inside the house.
Right.
It disappeared. So I said, I want another key back.
What happened to the key?
And so I was talking to the psychologist. Now I notice I have a male psychologist, so I'll do whatever the male psychologist says.
Yeah.
Because if I had a woman, he thought it was two women getting up.
Oh, really?
So I have a male psychologist, so he does everything now. So I'm like, okay, I want one now. And he goes, and he says, well, it looks the clock. He says, it's 9:45. I'll have to wait till tomorrow. So I got one and the next day. And so psychologist said, go back and ask him questions. Don't yell at him. Ask him questions. Tell him, I'm not going to yell at you. Just give me the answers. So I asked him, why didn't you get me key holders 3 years? He goes, well, I never found time.
Wow.
He's always getting keys for the church and everything all the time. Okay. So I asked him, where's that key that was in the garage door? I don't know. I didn't take it out.
Well, I'll tell you.
I just got rid of it. I didn't say anything.
It's too much cortisol. It's too much stress. You know, people that are married to a lot of us, I would say, married to these Asperger fellas, is that we're so tired. You get so exhausted. The simplest thing, it just wears you out. The simplest question, I learned that it took me a long time, another 10 years, something to learn. When he would say, for example, we had all these, in our new house, we had a bunch of branches and things that had to be moved. And he had an old pickup truck, but it wasn't working. And I'd say, Bruce, you got to get these branches and all out of here. And he'd go, I need a new, I don't know what, carburetor or something. Well, it didn't mean he was going to get one. You know, it took me all that time. So I thought, okay, he's going to get it fixed and go get haul the stuff out of here. Whatever it would be, he would just say what it had to be, or, you know, the wind is broken and yeah, we need a new paint, the water's getting in it, but that didn't mean he was getting it. And so I wait and wait and wait, you know, you can't put your own thinking out the way they do is just really hard. So we just have to be our own person. So anyway, Wendy, I just think it's wonderful that you found your own freedom and power.
Yes, lots of freedom now. I feel empowered.
And you are empowered. Mm-hmm. And she's a businesswoman. And she's going to go to Florida and travel. And so
by myself.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, that you have to start knowing how to do things by yourself.
Yes. And it's fun. You don't have to worry about somebody else.
No.
Entertaining them.
And they can ruin a lot of vacations.
They do.
Now, mine didn't so much. Kind of like, I think he was very relaxed when he went on a trip, you know, but I hear it all the time, how they go on. They just aren't any fun, go lock themselves or go to social events and go lock in a room and look at we didn't have computers so much back then. So I didn't have all that, you know, but so do you have anything you'd say, any more you want to add before we close here to anybody?
Just be aware of the things you do, not just the things they do. Because I know I yelled a lot and that would shut him down completely.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't.
And wasn't realizing that so much. Mm-hmm. So now I stop. And I listen and I don't overreact. And that brings him out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening more, even it's a little hard, and not being so rash and quick. I have to calm down and I need to learn his language and understand my language also.
That's so great. We can both
communicate. Right. And I try to explain to him why I do the things I do. Mm-hmm. So he's starting to learn my language. Because he has to learn my language just as much as I'm learning his language.
I do.
It can't all be me.
No.
So I'm the one going for counseling. Because it's me that needs the help.
Right. Right. You have to react.
You have to learn how to react yourself. I can't get him to go.
You are going to get. But that I think that's really good.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. I think
you
it's wonderful.
You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah. I think you've grown so much from the first time she said, when we talked and I said, I'm writing a book. I don't know why. Probably I was hysterical about something with my guy. I mean, you know, here's somebody I can tell my troubles to. She's out there trying to do my landscaping, but I'm going to go tell her. And somehow, you know, I would always say that to people. And, you know, when you said, it sounds like my husband, I was just one of those craziest things.
Oh, one more plug. It's a great book. You read it and it just goes along and you can associate with everything going on. You don't mind that fit each person just right, but the things that go on, you can associate with everything, just everything. Like in one part where she's talking about how he always ruins everything, all the nice things that you go to. And I can associate with all that.
Right.
And it just makes sense. And you can go, yeah, it's like that. I mean, everything might not fit, but most of it will.
Yeah, to me, definitely. Everybody's sort of different, but we're the same.
Yes.
I mean, everybody's a lot different. Let's put it that way.
It will help you out so much. You won't feel alone. You'll find things that pertain to you. You won't feel alone anymore.
Well, that's a great thing. And I think it's just a crazy situation to run into somebody. And it's just most people I've met on forums and everything else. But listen.
She changed my life.
Oh, I can cry.
You changed my life.
I can cry.
You changed my life. Without you, I would have never known anything about this.
I have been moved to tears about some of this stuff when I first got into it and all.
Mm-hmm.
But writing the book was so hard. And the first part, the first gal I worked with, I cried all the time. And poor girl was young and she's like, oh, honey, I'm sorry. And then the second part, I worked with this fellow who was a riot. And I was past the crying stage and into the anger stage.
Oh, and I was angry.
And he would say to me, you're getting triggered. You're getting triggered. And I'm trying to, you know, use my brains and write proper sentences or, you know, write a scene. And I'm starting to get so mad I'm running. But, you know, that helped me, I think, getting that done, you know. And it took, I have this life coach and she said, maybe I don't sound that way now, but she said I was sounded so much calmer than I did when I first talked to her. And it just took a long time to really, you know, heal myself and not ruminate about him and not worry about all that. Of course, now we're actually divorced, which I never thought I'd ever do that. I really didn't. But when he was still acting the same kind of way around me, and I know with him, things are black and white. And so he just says, I take everything in stride, and he's just gone off in his life. And I'm like, okay, I tried 50 years to make everything work, and you take it in stride and you're off doing your thing, you know, but it does take a while to do this. It took you maybe like 3 years, would you say, to do that? Well, anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed today's episode. And Wendy, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for inviting me, April. It was wonderful.
And listen, good luck. Have a good vacation. And I'm going to see your beautiful truck on the roads. And I hope I get your beer next year.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. You're still on the list.
I'm on the list. Okay.
You'll always be on the list.
Oh, I'm so happy. See, you have to do my weeding and stuff because I helped you.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yes.
You can't.
Forever.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Forever client.
A forever client. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please review, subscribe, and tell a friend. My website is www.aprilanderson.net. Remember to trust yourself, be strong, and don't let them get you.